evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us. I hope you'll join in the conversation here this evening. And what a night tonight has been outside. We left church tonight, and the full moon was coming up on the eastern horizon, and just enough clouds that it just had that neat little kind of halo effect around it, just kind of coming through the clouds. And I was driving down the road, and when I turned to go down our street, I turn and I head west, so I thought, what is that bright light shining in my rear view window as I was starting to go down the hill? It was the moon catching me right in the rear view window. It looked like a street light. It was that bright. But that's why it's cold outside up here in northeastern Ohio. It was 16 degrees when I left our house, because it's cleared off and the stars are shining, but there is a major winter storm, late winter storm, I guess we could call this, that is scheduled to come across the eastern United States. There's a low pressure system down in the Carolinas, and there's another low pressure system headed in from the Chicago area. And I guess they're supposed to sort of pull into each other off the East Coast. And we're supposed to, right here where we're at, get 6 to 12 inches, they were saying, between tomorrow, later in the day, and in a 24-hour period, I guess, from Monday evening to Tuesday evening, 6 to 12, possibly more, they said. It's one of those times it'll probably turn out to be a dusting. But and then they're saying that the parts of the East Coast, especially up toward New England, might get 20-plus inches. So, that's what happens in March. We get these colliding systems with warm, wet air coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, and them cold air masses coming out of Alberta, Canada, Alberta Clippers. Anybody from Northeast Ohio probably knows that term. And they collide, and these systems join together, and it puts down snow, it puts down rain, it puts down all kinds of stuff. So if you got to be out to tomorrow night and Tuesday, you might want to keep an eye on the weather. Hopefully it'll fizzle. It happens sometimes. I don't know any other profession where you can be paid so well to be so wrong so consistently. And I'm not picking on the meteorologists. I find that field fascinating. Sometimes think when I was in the Air Force, it would have been nice if they'd have put me in meteorology. I would have enjoyed that. But at any rate, enough about the weather there and the moon and all of that. I want to remind you, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, you can find us online, online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well on Facebook. And let me encourage you to check us out on Facebook. I'm able to get things on Facebook faster than I can on our website, because the website's pretty much dependent on when I get to it. I'm the webmaster. I'm the person who has to put it all together. And, in a small church, you wear a lot of hats. But at any rate, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening, and we're going to get into a couple other things as well here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight, and Lord, just pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory tonight. Help us lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people to Jesus. And if there's somebody struggling with their faith or has questions, I pray that something that we talk about tonight, that the Holy Spirit can use to direct their heart towards you. We just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you for joining with us tonight. And we had a great time at church today. A lot of people don't realize it. It's gaining more popularity But I think about, it was in 2015 that we first learned about Pi Day, because I think that year it was on a Friday. We have a Friday night Bible study. And let me invite you, if you're in Northeastern Ohio, and we have every Friday night, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. If you're in Northeast Ohio in the Akron or Cleveland area, just visiting, or if you live in the area, we'd love to have you visit our Friday night Bible study. And we just have an open-ended thing. This program actually came out of that. It was 2015, I believe it was, and one of the Friday night Bible studies in March, it was March the 14th, 2015, which meant the date was 3/14/15, which if you put a decimal point in there, gives you 3.1415, which some of you now can understand that I'm talking about pi, the value of pi. Well, it's International Pi Day, and that's coming up this Tuesday, which will be March 14th, 3.14. And it was Pi Day, so some people brought some pie, because, hey, what do you do on Pi Day but eat pie, you know? I mean, it's just the circumference of a pie is pi r squared, but it depends on how many pieces have not yet been eaten, I suppose. But at any rate, we had that, and everybody liked it. So the following year, of course, Pi Day was on March 14th, a different day. And so we decided on a Sunday after church, one Sunday morning close to Pi Day, we decided, well, we'll just have a Sloppy Joe and Pi Fellowship. I guess the Sloppy Joes came about because they were easy. And you could fix your Sloppy Joe, get through that till you get to the real business of eating pie. But yeah, they're round too, you know, the round buns. So we just had a good time with it, and so we did it again this year. I don't know how many pies we had this year. We must have had a dozen different types of pie. We had cherry pie, blueberry pie, blackberry pie, apple pie, sour cherry pie. We had a sort of banana pudding pie that was in a square pan. So I said, look, banana pie R squared. But that's a bad joke, I suppose. But we had an oatmeal pie. We had a chocolate pie. We had a peanut butter pie. We had all kinds of pie. I mean, it was great. And we had a lot of fellowship. It was pretty good because I think we ended the service about 12:15, actually ended a little early, and I think by 12:30 we were ready to start eating, and it was terrible. People stayed around till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. See what happens when you have pie? Everybody likes pie, I guess. I always remember my dad didn't like cake as much as he liked pie, so on his birthday he always wanted a pie with a candle on it for his birthday rather than a cake. And so we, you know, pie's popular, and it was a lot of fun. So if you're looking for something at your church, maybe to do something just to encourage a little fellowship there, let me pass that along. It's kind of fun. And we were having a lot of fun talking about pie. In fact, in our Sunday evening service, we do a favorite song and testimony time where people pick a song, and if we have it in the songbook, and we use something that's called a hymn player for our music, and I don't really have a lot of time to go into it, but it's basically an electronic thing that has programmed songs into it. But at any rate, if we have the music and we have it in the songbook and we have it in the hymn player, we're usually willing to give it a try. And we were trying to find different songs if we had them, you know, along the lines of like song number 314, or perhaps song number 360, or song number 180. And we had a lot of fun with that during our song service tonight, just picking out songs that had something to do with pi, or the circumference of a circle, or a different thing. It was just a lot of fun. And it made for a good day. So if you could tell, I'm a little peppy tonight, I guess happy tonight. Not the time change. It's not the time change. Although, let's see, what should it be right now? Excuse me. I guess it should be about a 10:13 if it wasn't for springing ahead an hour. So maybe I'm a little bit awake, but I lost an hour of sleep last night. So maybe that's it too. I don't know. But we had a great time, and we frequently joke at our church, you know, now come on, wipe those smiles off your face. You're not allowed to have fun in church. Entirely too much levity going on back there. And then we give it a good chuckle about that. But we had a good time, a good fellowship, and a lot of good pie. Not every pie was store-bought. We had one gentleman, he made his own apple pie. I mean, he cut up the apples, he made the crust, everything. He made his own apple pie. And my wife made an oatmeal pie from scratch and a chocolate pie from scratch. And we had some other stuff that was made from scratch, as well as some very good store-bought pies. I mean, there's some people who can... some places make some pretty good pies. So probably when I go home, before I go to bed, I might just eat another piece of pie. So at any rate, but we don't have to talk about that all night tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. 888-677-9673. And something else I wanted to mention too, before I forget about it, just happened to think about it here. One of the things I wanted to mention here, and then we're going to grab a call here in just a moment. If you have a mind to do it, check us out on our Facebook page. We have a link to a GoFundMe campaign type thing, and we thought we're going to give this a try. And I talked to some people about it. We prayed about it. If it doesn't work, it don't work. But we've mentioned before about our cost to be on the air and different things. I'm not going to go over all of that, but basically, we're here in the Cleveland area. We're in the Tampa area, in Tampa, of course, on Faith Talk 570-910 WTBN, and then in Cleveland area, we're on AM 1220 WHKW, and also out in Warren near Youngstown, Ohio on 1440 WHKZ. And our church funds the Cleveland broadcast pretty easily, Warren, but the Tampa has been funded through some special unique gifts that made it possible for us to be down there, and we've been able to extend through April. And so we thought, hey, we'll give it a try. You can check us out, our GoFundMe campaign. Go to Live with Pastor Al on our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al. I'm trying to get it onto our webpage. I'm having some trouble with that. But, hey, we need just over $9,360 or something like that, I believe it is, for a year if we want to get a year contract in Tampa. And I think we have $5 that's come in on that so far. But pray for us. And if it works, we'll continue on in Tampa, because that's basically where we're at. Our church is small. We can't cover it on our own. So we thought, if God wants us there, you have not because you asked not, I guess. So we're going to give that a try. If it doesn't work and God supplies it another way, that's fine too. But Lord willing, pray for us that we'll be able to continue on past April in Tampa. We enjoy being there. We have a lot of good callers and good listeners there. And so pray for us. All right. Well, let me get back to our phone calls here. And of course, our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Joy calling in tonight. And Joy, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi there.
Good evening.
I have a question for you, first of all. Why is, I believe I've heard it said that Job is the oldest Old Testament book of the Bible, and James is the oldest New Testament book of the Bible. Why was the Bible not written in chronological order or placed in the Bible? Mm-hmm.
Oh, placed, yeah, because I was going to say, one would argue that it was written in chronological order because it was written from oldest to newest, but I know what you're talking about. Why is it not placed in chronological order in the Bible? And, you know, different books have to be arranged in a fashion that that helps you to understand it, hopefully. And if you look at it, the book of Genesis, well, Genesis basically means origins. And if you read Job first, okay,
mm-hmm.
you would not know the background of some of the things that Job talks about Job talks about in terms of sin and a redeemer and God's creation and things like that. And so the book of Genesis gives you that. Also, some of the books that follow Genesis give us some genealogical material that can help you to see that Job most likely lived, I guess you could possibly say maybe just before or just after Jacob. I think from reading it that he was probably the descendant of both Ishmael and Esau, one through his father's side, one through his mother's side. But regardless of that, he would have been a descendant of Abraham. And obviously, Moses was the human author for Genesis, actually the first five books of the Bible, because they're called the books of Moses sometimes. But God wrote them through Moses, and Moses was given things that actually predated Job. He wrote things that had been passed down from Adam down through generations to Noah, and then from Noah down to through his descendants, Shem, and different ones down to Abraham and so forth and so on. So that would give you the background information necessary to understand Job. And then James, as far as James goes, I think in some senses, maybe you could make the argument that actually Revelation is the oldest book in the New Testament, or the, not the oldest, but the latest, you know, because John on the Isle of Patmos was quite up there in years, and he was the last surviving of the disciples. But whether James or Revelation is the last book of the New Testament that was given, the fact of the matter is Revelation kind of sums up some things and brings things to a conclusion as God reveals his final plans. And you can almost see a picture in Revelation and Genesis where God created, you know, the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1, and talks about the Garden of Eden being planted in Genesis chapter 2, and everything was good and perfect and without, you know, the taint of sin. And then in Revelation, and then, of course, in Genesis chapter 3, we see where sin enters into the world with the devil tempting Eve in the form of the serpent. And then by one man's sin, that's Adam, when he disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, death entered into the world. And then, of course, in the book of Revelation, we see the ultimate man, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, as he's called sometimes, you know, doing away with the devil's hold on this world and the victory that he has over Christ, over the devil. Then as a result, we can see the world being restored finally by the end of the book of Revelation to conditions like it was when God originally created it. So you have a beginning with Genesis and an ending with Revelation. And if we started with Job and ended with James, you would miss that. So I think God has superintended the Bible to be arranged that way so that we could follow, you know, the understanding of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So okay, hopefully that helps out a little bit there.
Yep. I'm just thinking about it. What's a parallel Bible?
A parallel? There's a couple different types, but the most that I'm thinking of is the two types where one type will be where they have in one column English, and in the other column, you know, like in the Old Testament, they'll have the Hebrew, and in the New Testament, they'll have the Greek. And so that'd be a parallel Hebrew-Greek, along with the English. So you can...
With
other versions?
Right.
Oh, that's another type of parallel Bible.
Old of chronological.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be a Bible arranged in a chronological fashion. Yeah.
Because
the other type of parallel Bible would be where you have like the King James Version and running alongside
it's the chronological
it.
Chronological one.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about if they're even any worth anything, you know.
Well, they can be interesting. They can be interesting. And you can see, for instance, knowing that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, it really is interesting that you see in the book of Job more references to snow and ice than any other book in the Bible. And Job lived much closer to the time of the flood than Moses did. And so that makes sense, because there's been some studies done that would show that after the flood, after, you know, the flood that we read about in Genesis, Noah and the Ark and all of that, that there would have been a period of time after that where we would have had basically an ice age type setting. And so during the time of Job, there would have been a lot more snow and ice in that region than there was by the time that Moses was walking around in some of the same places. Okay. So you can see that reflected in Job being the oldest book of the Bible, talking about that sort of thing much more so than Moses ever did. So it's, you can kind of pick up some things, and I wouldn't say that a chronological Bible is of no value. I think it would be interesting. I think it could be an enhancement to your Bible study, and if you didn't want to spend the money on a chronological Bible, you could get to something that gives you the chronology. You could probably find it online, or there may be smaller books, you know, that list the books and parts of the Bible in chronological order, and then you can go through and read them in chronological order, and it might give you some hints and some insights into the Scripture, because reading the Scripture, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So anything that helps people read the Scriptures is going to be good, and all of that, so long as it's not, you know, changing the Scripture. And that's where I caution against the parallel Bibles where they list like the King James and the NIV and the New American Standard and stuff, because those passage or those Bibles actually eliminate huge chunks. And so they alter it. They detract from the Bible. Whereas a chronological Bible that's not changing, if you just took the King James version of the Bible and read it in chronological order, it would be pretty interesting.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for calling, Joy. I always appreciate your calls. And I'm sure we'll hear from you again. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And let's see. We've got, just a couple of minutes before break. I think we've got Tom calling in, and we're going to catch Tom, and if need be, we'll hold him over, too. But, Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi. My question is, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, who are the poor in spirit? I mean, how do we understand who he means?
Okay, well, let me get turned over there. We've got, about 4 minutes, I think, before the break. And let me just ask you this while I'm turning over here. If we reach the point where, we have to go to the break, do you want to hold over a little bit?
Okay.
Okay, because, you know, we may get into a few things before we can, quite go through all of this. But in the first place, let me turn over here, because I believe it's in Matthew where we're looking about the poor in the spirit. And as soon as I can find it, it's in the Beatitudes. And off the top of my head, probably had too much pie tonight, so I try to remember the exact chapter here. I'm scrolling down through here quickly trying to find it. And let's see. I think I went too far. I went down to chapter. There it is. Chapter 5. And this is the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 2 is where he's saying, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of people kind of take this out of context, and they're talking about the poor as in poor in worldly possessions, poor in, you know, they don't have much money, they're poverty stricken. And that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the poor in, notice what it says, in spirit here. And these are people who understand that they're lacking in something, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember when Jesus said he came not to call the, I'm going to paraphrase this, came not to call the healthy or I'm trying to think, the righteous to repentance, but the unrighteous, you know, those that are not sick don't need a doctor thing is what he's talking about. People who think that they're right with God, even though they may be unsaved, they don't think they need anything. You know, it's very hard to deal with a self-righteous person. It's only when somebody becomes poor in spirit where they realize, hey, you know what? I am not as righteous as I might think. I'm severely lacking in my spirit, that they're willing to turn to God and that they're willing to understand that I don't have what it takes to inherit the kingdom of God, but I recognize there's one who does, and that's the Lord. And, you know, when we come to him by faith, you know, we confess our sin, we're admitting our spiritual poverty, and we're putting our faith in him, and we're allowing him to bless us. Because, you know, we know we don't have it. We don't have what it takes to pay our sin debt. We're lacking. We're poor in spirit. And only the riches of Christ's glory, the riches of his grace, the riches of his love can supply that need so that we can have the forgiveness of sin and have the right to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Without Christ as our Savior, we don't have that right to enter into the kingdom of heaven, as we don't belong. We're not a part of his family. So we've got to become poor in spirit. The self-righteous are not going to get in because they don't think they need anything. Did that help out with you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And I want to thank you for calling. I guess we finished just in time for the break. But I want to encourage you to keep listening. And we've got another half hour to go. So stay tuned, and we'll be with you till midnight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just to let you know, too, before we get into the program more, or the rest of the program, we already had a half hour, but just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook at, just go to Facebook, look for us at Live with Pastor Al, and you can like us there, follow us there. We try to get a number of articles and things on there. I got a rather eclectic range of interest there, because just looking at it right now, get it there in just a moment, but I've got stuff dealing with creation, stuff dealing with current events, stuff dealing with, one thing I wanted to mention, there was a representative, I believe, that was in Israel just recently. We had talked about a little over a month ago about the potential of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv, Israel, to Jerusalem. And they were there studying that just this past week or so. And so talking about some things like that in there. So a little bit of this, a little bit of that on there. And let's see, something on transgenderism and things like that. A little of that, and I encourage you to check that out. And I put a number of things on there through the day as I'm reading and looking and investigating other things. I'll try and share some of those online. Some things I put a comment to, some things not, but I encourage you to check that out. Facebook Live with Pastor Al, and like us there, follow us on Facebook. Also wanted to mention, again, not only brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you're in the Cleveland area, the east side in particular, Garfield Heights area, you can give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And you can call them for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. And even if you're not in the Cleveland area and you're interested in starting your own pizza shop, or maybe adding pizza to an existing restaurant, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started. Not a franchise, it's his own recipe, and he'll help you get started. Just give him a call. East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. We're going to get back to our phones here. And again, the number 3-8, I'm looking at 3-8s on the board, 888-677-9673, that's 888-677-9673, and we've got Tom calling in tonight. Welcome, Tom, to the program.
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Hey, you got my mouth watering here for a piece of pie. My wife makes excellent lemon meringue.
Oh, you know, we had such a good time with this theme on Pi Day. And like I was saying in the first half of the program, for those that didn't hear it, we were celebrating Pi Day, which is Tuesday, March the 14th, you know, the date 3.14, the value of pi, by having a Pi Fellowship after church today. And we had so many pies. You know, the phrase, you are what you eat, I think I'm beginning to feel like a pie. Well-rounded pastor tonight.
Geometrical equation, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't that a geometrical equation?
Well, yeah. Circumference of a circle is pi r squared. And you also use pi to figure the volume, the area of a circle, the volume of a cylinder, and things like that.
I know that was about 45 years ago. I learned that,
We used it as a good excuse to eat pie. But we use that as a good excuse to have fellowship after church. Like I said, our church service, we ended a little early today by 12:15, and we started our fellowship time about 12:30, and people were there until 3 o'clock.
Oh,
And the only reason we probably left then is because we had a nursing home service coming up at 3:30.
I got to have a good cup of coffee to go with that pie.
Well, we had that too. We had coffee. We had tea. You know, so we had a very good time. But it was good to see Christians sitting around fellowshipping, having a good time, young and old, just enjoying themselves and talking about things. It was very good. We had enough pie. We had more after church tonight. So,
well, you know, there's something about, you know, look at, there's something about getting around a good meal or anything.
Which, mm-hmm.
It just brings out the fellowship. It's so natural, you know.
Oh, yeah. Some people criticize, oh, you churches, you're always eating, always eating. Well, yeah, but eating is such a basic thing.
Well, it's
and breaking bread, right. And the Bible talks about breaking bread. It's such a natural thing, and it makes for like a common bond. I mean, we know we have to eat, and I'll be the first to admit, in America, we probably eat too much. You know, it's most of the rest of the world does not struggle with, oh, I need to lose weight. They're just struggling to get a meal.
Yeah.
But the fellowship that it provides, you know, to when you sit around, and it's like I knew some people in the Chesapeake Bay area, and they were describing, if people are familiar with Chesapeake Bay, where, you know, where they have the, what is it, the blue crabs, I think it is, the soft shell crabs.
I was just down there last summer.
Yeah, and they were saying when you eat these crabs, they bring like a whole basket of them out, and they put this paper down on the table in front of you, and they dump it all out. And they said the idea is not that you sit there and you just eat a meal and leave. You sit around, and it's more of a social interaction, because as you're eating these things, it takes a while to eat them, you're having conversation and you're engaging with each other, which, you know, when you look at the way that we're on, you know, the internet so much today, and on our smartphones and all, and people aren't talking to each other. They're too busy texting and looking up things on YouTube or something. And, you know, things that get people together. And that's what I think our churches need. We need things where we get people together.
That's why the family table was so important.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when I was in the Air Force and I rededicated my life to the Lord, and I got involved in a little missions church outside of the base where I was stationed in England, you know, even though I grew up in church and I got saved at a young age, it was the first time in some senses, I guess I could say, that the church became the main center of my social activity, if that's not too awkward of a way to put it, because, you know, my social life began revolving around friends and people at church. And, you know, it was something that caused me to want to go to church. Yes, I wanted to go to church to learn about God. I wanted to go to church to worship God. I wanted to go to church for all those good reasons, but I also wanted to go to see my friends. I wanted to go to be around fellow believers. And that was probably one of the biggest things at that time. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, you know, Paul or whoever was writing there said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because we need that fellowship.
No, it's worship. That's our main thrust, is worship the Lord. But, you know, that is that fellowship part that's important. It's for our own good.
Well, and you have the Holy Spirit moving, you know, in your midst and drawing you closer to each other and closer to God. And you begin to share things, and you share prayer requests, and you share praises and struggles and victories. And it's a great thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, you spurned my interest here. You know, you got me here thinking about fruit, you know. So I got a question. It's kind of a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
So hear me out here before
okay.
you answer. Okay, so if we go to Genesis, you know, we know that there's a tree in the center of the garden that Adam and Eve are commanded not to eat from.
Right.
Okay, but, you know, when I was a kid growing up, they always used to think that, you know, people used to say it was an apple tree. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true, is it?
Well, I agree with you.
And secondly, it's interesting because if you go back into Revelation, it talks about the tree again, doesn't it?
One of them.
When we get way back, it says there's going to be a tree that the its leaves are going to provide the healing for the nations. Now, here's the second part of the question I want to answer. Okay, so it's interesting. There's a parallel beginning and ending with trees, okay, in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but why do we need a tree to eat the leaves for our healing? If you know sin has been removed and we've always been told there will be no more sickness or anything. So, that is
a good question.
I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer and you expound on it. But I was just kind of laying here thinking about that. So.
Yeah. And thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. And I'm going to get through this a little bit here, and then I believe we have another caller calling in as well that we'll get to in just a moment. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." And, things that we are supposed to eat. And then in chapter 2, that was chapter 1, chapter 2, where God plants the Garden of Eden. And it says again in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant sight and good for food." And then it says this, "The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And we have this river that comes out of the Garden of Eden, and along there somewhere is the tree of life, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let me just touch on the knowledge of good and evil tree here just quickly for a moment. That's the one that the devil tempted Eve to eat the fruit from, that a lot of people mistakenly call an apple. There's no biblical basis for that, and that's why they say you have an Adam's apple. You know, men have a prominent Adam's apple, and that's a reference. They believe that Adam, when he took the forbidden fruit, it stuck in his throat.
No, I think it was a specific tree, and I think it has no bearing on anything that we know that's edible in this.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And see, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve knew good, but when they ate from the forbidden tree there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they now knew evil firsthand. They experienced it. Whether or not they were intellectually aware of it beforehand is another story, but they did not experience evil or sin until they actually did it. And that's what they did when they ate that. Now, that's where sin entered into the world and death by sin and the need for a Savior and all of that. But Adam and Eve now are in their sinful condition. But remember, the tree of life is there. And so in chapter 3 of Genesis, in chapter 3, God deals with Adam and Eve, and he promises a coming, Messiah, and then he kills an innocent animal, makes clothes for them out of the skin of that animal, and then in verse number 22, Genesis 3:22, it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, so that they would not eat the tree of life." Now, in Ezekiel chapter, I think it's chapter 44, I'm not going to turn there right now, talks about in the millennial kingdom, the waters issuing out of the Temple Mount and going down and bringing life to the Dead Sea. And there is a tremendous underground aquifer. One of the biggest known aquifers in Israel was discovered, and it comes up underneath the Temple Mountain, Mount of Olives area. And there's a fissure, a fault line that runs through the Mount of Olives, just like is talked about in the Bible with in Zechariah chapter 14, I believe, where if it triggered, the Mount of Olives would split in half, just like the Bible says that it will when the Lord returns. And I believe that there's going to be an uplifting of that whole area, the land of Israel. There's giant earthquakes that take place. And this water comes out and it brings life to the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, and they fish in it and all. And it says that along that river, there's a tree, these trees growing with the fruits for every season, and the tree, the leaves that they can eat for the healing of the nations.
Yeah.
And then we see that again, like you pointed out, in the book of Revelation in the New Jerusalem and the eternal kingdom, the eternal state, I should say, there in Revelation chapter 22. And it says in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So this is similar to what we see in that Ezekiel pointed out would be in the millennial kingdom, which precedes this. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And apparently, this tree, the leaves, have some property in them that would enable the body that we dwell in to not die, to not get sick, and be able to live forever. And see, in the Garden of Eden, God did not want Adam and Eve living forever in their sinful state. Could you imagine? You know, we know what it's like as Christians to struggle with a sin nature on a daily basis. Could you imagine? Adam and Eve struggled with it for hundreds of years. Could you imagine struggling with it for all eternity? I mean, that means sinful people would get more and more wicked. They got so wicked with lives in the hundreds of years that God sent the flood. Now, in the millennial kingdom, people will again live for hundreds of years, and they'll have access to it. And then there's a final rebellion when the devil is let out of his prison, out of the bottomless pit, at the end of the 1,000 years.
Okay, so they will still have a nature that is bent towards sin?
Yeah, the people who were born during the millennial kingdom will. Now, you and I will be there as believers without that sin nature. But now, when God then wraps up this present age and everything, and he brings in the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem and all of this, then only believers will be there. People who have put their faith in God, believed in the Messiah to come, they will be there, and they will have the privilege of eating from this that will allow them to live in perfect health forever, basically.
Well, listen, thank you very much. It's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look at it. So,
Thank you.
But great question. Appreciate that. Okay. Thanks, Tom. All right. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Edward calling in tonight as well. Edward, welcome to the program.
Hi. That woman that called in about a chronological order of the scriptures caught my attention. I didn't catch the whole program because I was shaving in the bathroom. But there was some, I think you might have mentioned some sources, like I'm not sure if you mentioned that there is a chronological Bible out there where various things are presented in.
Right. We didn't mention anything in specific or any specific resources, but I did mention that, yeah, they are available, and there's also books or booklets or articles that will give a list of the various books in chronological order as well.
It piqued my interest because it's in the middle of a project that I'm working on. I just got done reading a 2-year schedule that I had worked on in what I'm calling a nearly chronological order. So I checked that and I did get everything in there, but there was something about that I didn't like. So I kind of rearranged it a little bit because I didn't like jumping from one book to another without finishing the book. So I did make a bit of an alteration. Someone told me something when I was a new Christian that I didn't know how to answer. She told me that the book of Daniel is not in chronological order, and subsequently I found out that is true.
Are you talking about its position in the Bible or the order of the chapters?
Order of the chapters.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Yeah. Because it does jump around, like, for instance, between, I think, Nebuchadnezzar's day and Belteshazzar's day and things like that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm unsure of in my when I put that book together, as far as the how I arranged the chapters in my schedule, was that I think I did some reading that there might be two kings with the same name. So I'm not sure that.
And that does happen. It does happen, because sometimes, you know, when a king takes the title, there's a name that's associated with that title. When my wife and I, for instance, were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, when people would receive a title, like one guy we knew, his title was Atua Lavau, which literally meant the Lord of the Forest. Now, he had another name, Tony. I can't think of his last name right now, but when he got the title, the name Atul Lavau came with the title. Well, the person who had the title before him was also called Atul Lavau. So that can complicate things, can't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then sometimes people, some of the same kings go by different names.
Well, and it's similar with the popes, and I'm not promoting Catholicism.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like they'll have a certain name, and then when they become a pope, they take on a different name.
Yeah, and they're similar names, and they try to at least keep order with, you know, John Paul II, you know, first, which means there was a first, and things like that, you know.
Right. And I'm not criticizing the order of the books in the Bible. I'm just simply, I basically agree with most of what you said. I think it is interesting to read things in a chronological order, mm-hmm. and that's why I did rearrange Daniel for my schedule, and I did rearrange some of the books. But like you said, as long as a person is reading the Bible, that's
right.
the main thing. And I will add, applying it. I think there's a lot of reading, but not as much applying, and I think that we need to do more applying in our country. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you've actually worked on trying to arrange things chronologically, and I think I know the answer maybe before I ask it, but did that help you in your study of the Bible, maybe broaden your understanding a little bit, increase your depth of knowledge?
It helped me to follow things better, especially when I came to the book of Daniel, because mm-hmm. I was jumping around, and I'm not criticizing the order as presented, but the way I wanted to read it, and I'm not exalting my will above God's will, but the way I wanted to read it was in a more chronological order, so that's why that was the only book in the Bible that I rearranged the chapter. Rearranged the chapters, I believe. So I kind of like doing that. And if I can come up with the exact order of the chapters in Daniel in a chronological order, I'd be willing to change what I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really sure when it comes to, like, Darius and Cyrus.
Well, and along with what you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, you've not changed the Bible. You've just rearranged the order a little bit as a project,
right.
and it gains you greater understanding.
Yeah,
But the other thing is... you're looking at the Word of God, and you're thinking about the Word of God, and you're studying the Word of God when you do that.
Yes.
And I think that's a good thing. It's just like, I believe everybody should read the Bible from cover to cover, certainly at least once. Now, that's going to sound almost like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to read the Bible all the time, read it once a year? A long time ago, this is like over 25 years or something ago, and I have read the Bible cover to cover, and that's what I did in the past. I started alternating, and this isn't exactly chronological, but I read the book of Genesis, and then from Genesis, I went to Matthew. And then from Matthew, I went to Exodus. From Exodus, I went to Mark. And you see what I did? I alternated back and forth, to where I was intermingling, you know, the Old and New Testament on a regular basis.
That's right.
And I now read every single book of the Old Testament in conjunction with every single book of the New Testament, you know, several times. And I find that fascinating because I get to compare, you know, reading in the Old Testament, and the next thing I know, I'm in the New Testament, and I'm seeing something that, hey, that's what I just read. But if I had read through the entire Old Testament before I got there, I might have forgotten by the time I got there.
One of the schedules that I was working on was stretching the Bible out and making a 2-year schedule because I found that a 1-year was trying to cram too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to resent the Bible.
Hey, I hate to interrupt there a second, but we're just about out of time. And we'll have to call and talk about this again sometime. I really appreciate it, but got less than 10 seconds to go. Thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you.
I want to thank our listeners tonight. Pray for us. God bless you. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Ridgefield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Ridgefield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Ridgefield, Ohio.